Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
McCarr with a shot, scores! Nichushkin on the redirect. Rolls it towards the net, save, and rebound, scores! Nichushkin, his second of the night. Nichushkin digs it out, empty net, hat-trick for Nichushkin.
Miller shoots, tip the good, rebound, Besser scores, a hat-trick with Besser, and the Canucks have tied the game with 6.2 seconds remaining in regulation.
Joshua in the corner lets it go for Garland.
Centers, Lindholm, scores! Elias Lindholm, 62 seconds into overtime.
Vladejad down low.
Shot, score! Panarin on the power play, and the Rangers take a 3-2 lead.
The first series sweep for this Rangers franchise since 2007.
McDavid, a pass across, one-timer coming up, and a goal from Evan Bouchard on the power play. The Edmonton Oilers with a 1-0 victory in Game 4.
Harboring thoughts of what has been and what's to come and still searching for Debodovas. Hi, Marty. Welcome in. It's an outdoor-indoor version of Sabres Live here to kick off a brand new week where there are seven series remaining in the NHL's opening round. And, of course, a very important to discuss, which we will reserve in its entirety for the bottom half of the hour. That is the Amerks in their first-round series with Syracuse.
I thought when you said there is seven, I thought you were going to say there's seven boats behind you right now, and none of them.
I haven't counted one yet. Where is everybody?
So the boat of us is not in the arbor yet. It's not even in my backyard. It's not in my possession. One day, the boat of us.
What will it take for you to land a boat?
All my kids to be out of the house and well on to life so that I have time for such a thing.
So when that happens, will you then invite them to the boat, or will you just set sail and you won't be seeing them for a while?
No. If that happens and we still have the show, I'm doing the show from the boat of us every day. That is going to be parts unknown, maybe Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, Atlantic Ocean. I don't know, but parts unknown will be definitely the part of the show.
All right. Puns, highly optional, but likely very frequent during this show. The Rangers cruise into round number two. Has the sun set on Ovechkin?
Well, it has definitely set on this season for OV, man. It was hard to watch. I won't lie to you. 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 points in 4 games. But I'm going to give credit to the New York Rangers, who had an unbelievable game plan to take him away, especially in the power play. Even so much so that TJ Oshie, in a pregame interview before game 3, I believe it was, said, we have to, like the four other players on the ice, have to produce, have to do something, because right now they're taking Ovechkin away and we are not doing anything. So for us to change that, we have to start producing. Well, they didn't, right? They weren't able to produce enough. This was maybe easy to be seen. I didn't think it was going to be a sweep. I said Rangers in 5 because the Washington Capitals were the worst of the 16 teams getting into the playoffs. They were 28th in offense this year, when you look at the Washington Capitals. It just wasn't going to be good enough to play against Shesterkin, who's been better, the Rangers, Laviolette and his system. So, yeah, and the Rangers didn't even need, like, okay, Panarin got, you know, the game-winning goal and looked better in game four. He didn't need to be good in that series. Fox didn't need to be great in the series. It wasn't about that. It was just, let's play as a team. We'll get it done.
Why are the Rangers then not the prohibitive favorites right now, despite winning the President's Trophy and being the first to advance to round two?
Yeah, this is interesting because they are now, and they were fifth in the odds to win the Stanley Cup, and they sweep right in round one, and people are saying, hey, it's the Washington Capitals. Because what is going to happen is in round two, most likely will be Carolina and New York Rangers. And I think that's a very, very tough matchup. Carolina's ahead of the Rangers in the odds to win the Stanley Cup right now. So, but for me, the Rangers have won the President's Trophy. They have the depth. They have the top-end players. They have the goaltender. I picked them to win the Cup, and I picked Shesterkin to be the MVP at the end of the playoffs. I just don't see why they wouldn't be at least in top two or top three in the odds makers mind. But right now they're still sitting at fifth.
Well, at least we got the truth as to why we landed on this topic. I had no idea that you picked the Rangers to win. So I guess I should have known that, knowing the number of times you bring up Hank and New York and whatever else. So,
you know, anyway. The sweep, the first time since 2007, the Rangers have swept the series. That was an issue when I was in New York. We could never get out in four or five. We always went to seven, and we couldn't really get ourselves going. But when the Rangers swept the Atlanta Thrashers in 2007, Duffer, I had just maybe 2 months prior to that been traded from Buffalo to Philly. So that's how long ago the last sweep was for the New York Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a note. It's nothing more than that to me. It's never mattered whether you win in four, five, six, or seven. You're not biting on my attempt to say that Ovi's career is done. So why is that? Because I think he could surprise somebody either this summer or next summer and say, you know what? I'm just not who I want to be. I really don't care about the Gretzky chase. And the reality is I'm not the player I used to be. You don't buy it?
I don't buy it because I think he cares a ton about the Gretzky chase.
Sometimes you have to make tough decisions when you care to actually cut the cord as opposed to hamper those around you.
Well, I don't think he's hampering the Washington Capitals. When he was playing better and when he started scoring, the Capitals got in the playoffs. It was almost miraculous in the first place that Washington got in the playoffs. That's what almost how you have to look at it, saying, okay, if the season had ended 10 days ago, what would be the outlook on Ovechkin? 30 goals. Amazing comeback after a terrible start. Like, he still got it. And then he plays four games in the playoffs, and it's like, is Ovi still got it? I think he chases Gretzky. I think he still plays two or three, maybe 4 years to be able to get to, you know, maybe even 900 goals. Like, that's what he wants to do, in my opinion. So, no, that's not over for Ovi.
He is under contract for two more years. He'll play two more years. If he doesn't get the record by then, I can't imagine him coming back. That's my opinion. Florida and Tampa is going to happen tonight. Is it not? Is that right? Yes, Florida-Tampa. As the Panthers look to end the season for the Lightning, who managed to stave it off in pretty impressive fashion, I would say, over the course of the weekend on home ice, thanks to, once again, Stamkos and Hagel. But I suppose the logical question is, in your mind, is it over tonight?
I think it's over tonight. But look, I did pick Florida to win in seven because I thought the Tampa Bay Lightning were going to give them a lot of, you know, pushback. And in the first three games, it was pretty tight. One going to OT and, you know, it's tight hockey. But Florida has the depth. You know, Tampa Bay used to have depth. They used to have, you know, Palat and Killorn, and they used to have Gourde and Coleman and Gaudreau and all of those guys, right? It really gave them that support. They don't have that depth, but in game four, it's Stamkos, Hagel, you know, Kucherov getting some points. So that's really what it came down to. But I mean, I see this as being Florida series. I see Bobrovsky as bouncing back after giving up five in that game, and Florida locking it up tonight and closing that one in five games. But again, we sit here And in a week from now, we could say, well, that one went to seven games, right? Because I still feel those two teams are pretty close in terms of high-end talent. It's just not the depth. And Mikhail Sergachev coming back after a broken leg, just like, what was it, 8 or 9 weeks later, is pretty significant for Tampa in game four to have him in the lineup.
Why? I mean, I'll there's a point to be made on the Panthers' depth. They've got 16 players with a point so far. That's not always a be-all and end-all. I feel like you're maybe not giving enough credit to the Nick Pauls and Tanner Janos of the world. But we also, I think, could see room for even more from Kucherov. So if he adds to what Stamkos and Hagel and Cirelli and Point are capable of doing, I'm not sure I want to write this Tampa team off.
The counter for Florida to Kucherov has been Bobrovsky, right? Like, he has been really good, and he's made a lot of higher end saves in big time moments. So I think that's the thing. But like, Bobrovsky didn't really play all that well in game four. He's going to have a step forward. Kucherov could also play better, but then all of a sudden you've got that big, you know, matchup Bobrovsky Kucherov. But I see Kucherov out there, and when he's engaged, you see a different Kucherov, a dirty, sneaky, very, like, on his toes Kucherov. I haven't seen that yet. And so until I see it, I think Florida gets it done in five, or if worse comes worse, in six. But if Kucherov gets going, then it could go the distance.
Well, he does have six assists in the four games, so it's not like he's been invisible. He has seven shots on goal, which is a low total, but again, he's more of a playmaker. What is Stamkos doing here for his legacy and or immediate future as a member of the Lightning, given that he also does not have a contract, but here he is right at the top when it comes to goal scoring, you know, five and four games. This was on the heels of a 20-game stretch to close out the year where he was one of the hottest guys in the league.
Stamkos is basically telling everybody, I can still get it done. And I just don't see how Tampa could walk away from Steven Stamkos with everything that he's done for that team. The injuries, the work to get back, the cups, the legacy, right? So, and right now he's basically saying, this is who I am. I'm going to always be able to perform, at least get some looks. And if it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, well, it's, you know, I'm still getting looks. And right now the puck's going in for Stamkos. I know this is going to be a summertime conversation, but they have to keep him. If they don't, I feel like Tampa is just moving into a completely, completely different direction.
Amherst, of course, are taking on the Lightning Farm Club in Syracuse. We'll talk more about that series that is even at one at the bottom of the hour. Devin Levi, a couple of strong games on home ice at Blue Cross Arena. Great to see about 15,000 in total over the course of the two games this weekend on Friday and Sunday. So thank you, Amherst fans, for showing up once again. Lightning and Panthers, the only game in the Eastern Conference tonight. It's game five with Florida leading 3-1. Of course, the Bruins are also leading 3-1 and taking a little extra time before they put Toronto out. Or do you see an extension of this series if Matthews can start feeling healthy and if many within the blue and white walls can get on the same page?
There's a lot of, bickering and complaining.
Friction, baby.
Let's call it friction. Willie Nylander comes back, and he's the voice of reason on the bench when Matthews and Marner and everybody's just, you know, bickering. And then, my lip reading isn't as good as maybe some other on social media may suggest. But when Willie Nylander look around, he's just, stop complaining. Like, this isn't junior hockey. Let's just play, right? And he's got to be the voice of reason. But look, Toronto is 1-for-14 on the power play. In the two games in Toronto, they went 0-for-8 on the power play, while Boston is 6-for-13 and went 3-for-6 in those two games. That's the difference right there. I mean, the power play, and there has been power plays in that series. It ends and starts right there for Toronto, in my opinion. Boston finally getting back to their senses with Jim Montgomery saying, you know what, we're going to play Jeremy Swayman in game four, not go back with the goalie rotation. It made a big difference because Swayman was once again really good against Toronto and just shutting the door and allowing Boston to be able to cruise to a game four win to now be up 3-1.
Yeah, and it's not just Toronto's power play that is lacking. It's Boston's power play that is feasting on the Leafs, going 46.2%. So, you know, Matthews not on the ice today as the Leafs are, you know, continuing to prep for game five. This illness is incredibly problematic for he and the club. And, you know, it has to be more than just him. So there are many others in the Leafs that that make an awful lot of money and can boost this group. But is it simply the Bruins right now that you see as having an answer for whichever Leaf team individual steps up in this moment? Like, do you see the Bruins playing at their absolute best right now?
Yeah, and the thing with the Bruins is they've surprised me all year when I thought they were going to have a major, major drop off and be in jeopardy of maybe not even making the playoffs. When the season started, I'm looking at their roster, I'm saying this is going to be a tough year for the Bruins. It hasn't been. Why? Because they have been able to push the right button. Jim Montgomery and his staff have been able to really put out game plans that work. I mean, Zacha on the top line, Charlie Coyle, Marchand's not with Pasternak. You're switching it up. They've been able to do that. Now, on the flip side, Sheldon Keefe has still not been able to figure out how to use his lineup. Willie Nylander comes back into the lineup after what some suggested it may have been a migraine thing, you know, like, and he puts him on a third line, hoping that he was going to lead his line, drive his own line. He had 4 assists in 11 games to finish the season on a third line. It doesn't work when you spread out 3 lines, when you have Matthews on top, you have Tavares and Marner, and then you have Nylander. It doesn't work that way. So I get that Domi and Bertuzzi with Matthews has looked good, but how about you put Willie Nylander with Tavares and Marner instead of Matthew Nyes and say, okay, let's go. We're going to go our top 2 heavy against your top heavy and let's make it happen. He made the change. It was 2-0 Boston with 3 minutes left in the second period. That's when he made the change. But then Matthews didn't play again because he was sick. So I think Sheldon Keefe is really, really not able to find the right combination to make the Leafs go forward right now.
Who starts in goal for the Leafs in game 5?
It's going to be Samsonov. I was actually surprised that they went to Joseph Woll after it was 3-0 at that point. I mean, like, it wasn't Samsonov's fault. The Leafs had nothing going for them. Right. And again, it starts with the power play. You can't score on the power play. You're not going to get any rhythm offensively. I felt that was a mercy pull, just saying, let's try to change some energy. But I would think Samsonov goes in game 5.
Bruins also a team with 16 players that have a point so far. Road teams are 17 and 14 in this Stanley Cup postseason. That doesn't affect Carolina, or does it, as they return home tomorrow to try to wrap up their series against the Islanders? Who do you like in game 5? Carolina, New York, and the heels of the Islanders double OT win this weekend.
I like Carolina. I think in game 4, it was Varlamov who was so good in overtime. It was a domination in the first overtime by the Carolina Hurricanes, outshotting the New York Islanders 17-9. But Barzal was really the key to the game. He had the, you know, the goal in the second period that made it 1-1. It was a longer range shot. And then, you know, his goal in overtime was, you know, he's a superstar. He's a superstar, but I feel like with the New York Islanders, it's always been about the defense, about their fourth line, about all of that. And Barzal hasn't been able to really shine through that. Well, he shined in game 4, but I think Carolina was the better team in game 4. They just gave up a goal in overtime that made the difference.
So any other major storyline coming out of that one?
Listen, Seth Jarvis is a pretty special player. I mean, again, with
not just realizing that now.
I know. I know that. But okay, I think that there's a lot of people that don't watch Carolina a lot that say, hey, Carolina is Aho, Svechnikov. They got Gensel. They have Brent Burns. You know, it's Rod DeBod, Bernd-Amour coaching that team. And I'm saying, hey, that Seth Jarvis guy, like, he's been good all season long, and he has been fun to watch. A lot of energy, a lot of, you know, I want to say intensity, but he goes where you need to go. And he's not the biggest of guy, but he pays a price. And he got a nice power play goal to get it going, but he's pretty special.
Yeah, and not just this year. Carolina is also a team that has 16 players with a point so far. We'll see what happens in Game 5 tomorrow. By the way, Bandits, huge win over the weekend. We'll talk more about that coming up along with our Amherst discussion. One of the greatest games in Bandits history. And we don't say that often, and we don't throw it out there lightly. But historically, it absolutely was, and nearly 18,000 on hand to witness it at KeyBank on Saturday. Can't wait to give you a quick recap of that and look ahead to the semifinals, which is a three-game series starting this weekend with Toronto, including a home game on Sunday. All right, quickly in the West, as quickly as Nashville lost it. Nashville and Vancouver.
Ugh.
You know what the takeaway from that is without hearing the post-game commentary?
What?
I have to be better.
Who has to be better?
Marty. Who's the only person?
Oh, Ryan O'Reilly.
Said,
yes. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Like,
yes.
Oh my gosh. Like, what was O'Reilly and his top end players? What were they doing in the final moments of the game and then in overtime?
They were diving everywhere. They were throwing their bodies around. They were trying to be desperate, but desperate without control is nothing but recklessness, right? And so Vancouver comes in playing their third goalie in this series because Thatcher Demko started game one, injured in game one. Casey DeSmith plays game two and three, wins game three, and played really well, despite the fact Vancouver only had 12 shots on goal. And now in game four, Vancouver at 14 shots on goal with 5 minutes left in the game. I'm thinking, Vancouver, what are you doing? You got to play a little bit more on your toes. You got to create more offense. Just to see Brock Besser score with less than 3 minutes, goalie pulled, score with 7 seconds left, goalie pull, and then Elias Lindholm in OT. And I'm thinking, they scored on three of their last four shots. That's what Vancouver did. This is a steal. Look, you got to blame Nashville. You're right. Like, they have to be better. You can't let that slip away. But a complete robbery of a game by the Vancouver Canucks to go in and win game four and now take a 3-1 series lead.
71 shots total for Vancouver in the series in four games. They're not even close to 20. Like, it's ridiculous. And yet, we saw it when Nashville won game two, and then the same script followed in games three and four. Be the team that doesn't shoot the puck. You're guaranteed to win.
That's how you're going to win?
This is why I live in fear of the game flipping on its ear. The only saving grace right now, and I don't want to compare eras and say that players are more skilled nowadays, but it seems like shooting percentage can be higher in this era when you do get kind of snuffed out in total shots. Like this, I make too many references to the 04 Stanley Cup final, obviously game seven, where neither Tampa or Calgary hit 20 shots. It was a different total
game. It was a different game
that was producing the fewer shots, right? Like, there was immense skill exhibited by Van.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Vancouver to come back and tie that game. No question. Like, Brock Besser did everything he had to do, you know, hat trick and all the rest of it. But again, it's on Nashville for not defending properly. And now
are you blaming Colton Sissons for hitting the post?
No, that's just dumb luck. I mean, that sucks, right? Like, I mean, what else could he have done? Like, I think Vancouver was almost waving the white flag on the play. It didn't look like they were defending.
Quinn Hughes put a little token pressure on him just to say, this is going to be the end. We got to 3-2 and it's going to be 4-2 in the end. But here's why I'm going to put some blame on Colton Sissons. You are on the ice for a reason and you're an NHL player. It's not like you are in your own end and you shot it all the way 170 feet down the ice and it hit the post. You were 25 feet away. Yeah, you were on your back end, but you got to ice the game right there, right?
And so what should he have done? Should he have turned and gone to his forehand and drove the net?
Like, you got to put it in the middle of the net from your back end.
That
you
happens.
Have the
I mean, superstar
control.
Players have this app. I wouldn't blame Colton Sissons.
I'm not blaming him because all of a sudden Vancouver is up 3-1, but I'm saying you got to put it in the net. You got to put it in the net. Like, that's just the way it is. So Ryan O'Reilly has to be better. Colton Sissons has to be better. UC Soros has to be better. There's a lot that has to be better for the Nashville Predators. And now there's a few, a few doubts that are creeping in Nashville in the way that they play the game. And Roman Josi, by the way, took a puck to the ear. It was bad. It was bleeding down his ear. The top of the ear was like all cracked up. It was disgusting.
Sissons and Saros, by the way, not made available to the media after the game. So that
oh my God, was that for that for... they should eliminate Nashville right there. Eliminate them.
Well, just remember the discussion we just had here that you initiated and the importance of Sissons' play. Because you still like to put an asterisk beside somebody when they score an empty netter and you like to alter the score, even though the score was 5-3, you go, it was 4-3, you know.
I look at the goalie's perspective.
Matter.
Yes, they do.
An empty netter changes the series there. And you know what I learned about the Amerks on the weekend? For everything great that they have done this year as a team, they were dead last in the American Hockey League in empty net goals. Yeah. So when they were nursing the Friday night victory, I was like, oh, now I get it. They lead the league, we're second in the league in one goal game winning percentage. Yeah. And I'm like, now I know why. They never get empty net goals.
Because you mentioned the Amerks quickly, and we'll get to that. So if empty netters are so important, what does that make of face-offs now? Because there was a couple of them.
So,
but I'm going to still hold my line on face-offs don't matter, but I get like the whole thing.
I have three t-shirts going in for alterations right now to change the moniker on the back. Now I'm going to go with a scribble out effect for the summer and then see what we actually should put in place of it. But I'm going to ease off. I'm going to back off on the face-offs don't matter. But probably like only for, well, at most, it's going to be 72 hours. Then you're not going to hear from me for the rest of the week, which is great. Good. This is a good week for you. But yeah, in all seriousness, we will have to get into that. But it's never about the percentage of face-off.
No, you're right.
It's about what happens after it hits the ice and how you defend. And there's a storyline that unfortunately emerged for the Amerks in yesterday's game, too. Okay, we did not manage to rapid fire through all eight NHL opening round series in the opening segment of the show. But we do want to see you at KeyBank Center this fall, so we would encourage you right now to take advantage of the presence of Lindy Ruff and the season ticket memberships that are starting at $22 per game. To learn more, visit sabres.com/join. Yes, we will talk Amerks, Bandits, and the other playoff series, all three of them that we didn't get to, right after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Amerks talk, Bandits talk, still to come here on Sabres Live. And very quickly through the three remaining series in the West we didn't get to, including Dallas-Vegas tonight, which is on the heels of a Dallas massive overtime win thanks to Wyatt Johnston and his heroics against Logan Thompson. And it almost feels like they needed a hero, a true definition of a hero, to get past Thompson and the Golden Knights.
So a couple of things in that game. Number one, well, if your faith in what 2024 hockey has been because of the low shot totals and low offense from other teams, then watch the Dallas-Vegas game and your faith will be restored, because there was a lot of offense, a lot of shots, a lot of scoring chances, really good goaltending. Logan Thompson, unbelievable in that game. Now, like, as we watch highlights on MSG right now, he has a full-on black catching glove. The rest of his gear, his pads are gold, his blocker is gold. The catching glove is full-on just dark black. It almost feels like when I had Ryan Miller's glove and it was the red glove that I wore, it didn't match the rest of my gear, but it was, I was testing the glove. I'm like, why does he have a black glove? Is his old glove broken? Like, but it worked because he was really good in that game. And Wyatt Johnston, the hero, scores the first goal of the game, which was huge for Dallas to be able to get up 1-0 in the first and then scored the last goal. 3 hours later, I want to say he scored the first goal at 11:15 p.m. Eastern and scored the last goal at 2:15 a.m. Eastern 3 hours later to bookend that game.
Yes, and the reason I put a heavy emphasis on his name is because, not unlike in the previous segment when we talked about Seth Jarvis, like, I can't stress enough how much people need to know how good this player is.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it went almost unnoticed last year, even though he shared the lead in rookie goal scoring with Matty Beniers. And, like, the kid is so good. And that's why Dallas, whatever happens this year, has, you know, Dallas has benefited nicely from some veteran additions this year, but their young core moving forward is still going to be elite. Okay, yes. So what happens in this one tonight, by the way, with Vegas leading 2-1?
The Dallas Stars are my new Winnipeg Jets. Don't want to talk about them because they seem to always... I know. I'm thinking, like, I'm thinking Vegas takes that one over. I think game four is Vegas's game.
Cassidy was not thrilled with how they started that game. Ooh, no. His on the bench.
But then
interview.
They were like, man, like, I thought they were going to win the game 5-2. Like, Vegas was so strong. And then Jack scores a shorthanded goal. And I'm thinking that they're going to win this in regulation. They're going to blow them out of the water. So it didn't happen, but I think Vegas wins.
The weird part with Vegas, as I was stressing earlier, the Eastern Conference teams that have had the balance so far, Vegas only has points from 8 players, which, when you think of their roster, they could do better than that. And they could especially get more from the depth of their blue line. So we'll have to see if that plays an increased role in tonight's game 4. Okay. I heard you say it. Jets. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I'm going to try to simplify this, as they're down 3-1 to a team that, the Jets are down 3-1 to a team that they absolutely destroyed in the regular season series. Who is to blame?
There's a lot of blame to go around. I can't even say Connor Hellebuyck is the only one to blame because, yeah, he hasn't been good enough, but the shots were 12-2 for Colorado, and he had probably seen like 6 grade A chances when Colorado made it 1-0, right? And Winnipeg was lucky, really lucky, to even be in this game and be 1-1. How is that not called offside? And the league actually came up with saying it was inconclusive. So this, like, an offside is either not or it is, right? But
I'm sorry, did you say the National Lacrosse League intervene
exactly.
here?
Yeah, the National Lacrosse League said it's inconclusive. But here's the problem. When Appleton came into the zone for that goal, the puck is on his backhand. We can never see. There's not an angle with the camera that we see the puck if it has crossed the blue line. And the near side angle, the camera for the blue line, it's you're too close to it, so you don't see it. So they say inconclusive. It looks so far offside. Connor Hellebuck, Dan, it's 1-1. Winnipeg takes penalties, and Colorado goes on the power play. I'm almost blaming Rick Bonus right now. I'm like, are you not figuring it out? Like, figure it out now, because you're not playing good at all.
Yeah. What was the funny referee commentary this year after the goal?
You're not going to like that.
Yeah, but who was it?
Oh, I don't remember who it was, but yeah.
A perfect review or announcement in that situation based on your description of being too close to a camera. I'm sorry, we couldn't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah,
the goal stands. And honestly, like, it's, hey, that's life. Like, you can try, and yet sometimes technology just doesn't help you win the situation. But at the end of the day, Colorado's power plays at 40%. The Avs are scoring. And I'm forever grateful, because we do need true offensive teams still to have success, I hope, in today's NHL.
No, you're 100% true. Colorado, look, big Val Nichushkin. Like, and that's the thing. Like, McKinnon still buzzing around. Makar, what a goal. Like, end-to-end goes up on the blocker side. Fantastic. Arturi Lehkonen, you know, like, he's been so good. Like, they don't have Jonathan Troyan. They don't have Gabriel Landeskog. Some guys have to step up. And it has been Nichushkin and Lehkonen that have stepped up. Nichushkin has got 6 goals in 4 games, a goal in every game, and he had 3. No assist, though. He's not a pass. He's a Cy Young winner. He's like a 6-0 right now, but he's been so good.
Yeah, but that's because Rantanen doesn't have any goals, and he's giving them all up to the others. You see how this works. And yes, it is remarkable that after game one and all the talk, and it wasn't just game one, let's be clear about that. It was a poor end to the season for Georgiev. Well, he's now 3-1, and none of the rest of the numbers matter. He's still well below 900. His goals against is over 3. But none of it matters, because they have 3 wins and he's 2 goals per game against better than his counterpart right now in Connor Hellebuck, who's standing at 522 and an 870. Colorado up 3-1 in that series. Last one to speak of is Edmonton, up 3-1 on the LA Kings, who cannot score. They focused almost entirely on a defensive mindset, and yay for them for wanting to go that route. I get it. They almost, you know, had 3 times as many shots as the Oilers last night, but they don't have offensive mojo like the Oilers, and Edmonton needed only 1. Their power play, once again, like in recent Oiler years gone by, 53% right now. Yeah. And that was the difference in the game. And presumably it will be the difference in the series.
What a play, right, McDavid, to Draisaitl up top to Evan Bouchard. It was perfectly executed. That's the 1-0 game. Big save, Dave. David Redick started for the LA Kings. It doesn't matter. He played well. Stuart Skinner was the star of the game for the Edmonton Oilers. But what LA's done in game 4 is they switched their matchup. In game 3, it was Philip Deneau against Connor McDavid's line. And you know what? It didn't work. They gave up 6 goals in that game. So in game 4, they say, we're going to play Kempe with Kopitar against the Connor McDavid line. Well, it worked, but it neutralized the offense, because Adrian Kempe is the one guy that's providing offense for the LA Kings, and it neutralized their offense, so they weren't able to score. So, yeah, that's the cat and mouse game that LA's trying to play right now. Either we neutralize our offense by trying to neutralize the Oilers' offense, or we go toe-to-toe. It hasn't worked at all.
No, it hasn't, and many are still waiting for a Pierre-Luc Dubois impact on the series. And just to put a bow on what you had said previously about Winnipeg, and maybe it's on Rick Bonus, a lot of people are wondering about Cole Perfetti being scratched for 3 straight games. Yeah. And after previously having mentioned the balance for many teams in the playoffs, the irony, Winnipeg has 18 players with a point, and they're not in great shape.
Well, Perfetti's going to come back in the lineup. That was a scary moment when Nemestikov got the puck in the face and had to go to the hospital. So he's going to be out. So we anticipate Perfetti to come back.
Yes, on the heels of them having lost Brendan Dillon in a situation that we don't have time for commentary on. Okay, I talked enough, and I was fortunate to be able to talk enough about the Amerks this weekend because I was providing color on the broadcast on Friday and Sunday. I'd like your take on where the Amerks stand here, 1-1 with Syracuse through two.
Listen, that standings in their division was so tight all season long. I'm not surprised that after two games, it's 1-1. Look, the Amerks had a 2-0 lead. They were down. They came back. Some would say they got hosed a little bit, you know, as we got in our text group with what was not an icing play in overtime. And the puck came back into the Amerks zone just to see the puck in their net 3 seconds later. But it's a tight series. Syracuse is a good team. They play a tight game and you got to work for every inch. And I wasn't expecting the Amerks to go out and win that in a sweep of three games. No, it's going to be a tight matchup all throughout this series.
Yeah, Lucas Rusek has points in both, but it ends up being about not him. It ends up being the team not being able to defend faceoff plays where they allowed Syracuse to have three tip-in goals off of faceoff situations, including the overtime winner by Forche. And that was on the heels of a missed call, botched call by the officials who ruled it to be icing against the Amerks when it was not icing. Kozak deflected the puck just outside of the Syracuse blue line. And the frustration comes, and this will be as the day is long, from Seth Appert. Like, it was the midway point of overtime. So the shovels were coming out for the scrape. And they, the officials, never once conferred. Come on. Like, you have, again,
talk it over for 30 seconds.
That's all. Like, all we want is the discussion on the matter. And there wasn't any. And again, as Seth clearly explained, that's not why they lost. They lost because they can't defend off of a faceoff. And the three goals, by the way, were allowed with three different centermen on the ice. The first time it was Yops who lost the draw late in the second period. The next one in the third was Richards, who was only out there for faceoff duty because they took Ostlund off the line and put Richards out for the defensive zone draw with Rosean and Kulik, and they lost that. And then Byro in overtime, which to me is ironic because it was not won cleanly, and Byro actually then on the second attempt goes forward because he's got a winger going across, and wouldn't you know it, it's Kozak who was playing his first game of the series, so Kozak doesn't get the icing negated, which was his stick on puck, and then Kozak gets picked on the faceoff, so he can't get to the puck that Byro has won, and they score on the redirect from the point shot. So yeah, to your point, it's super close, and game three is Thursday, game four is on Saturday.
I feel like the Amerks have the better of skills, and Syracuse has a little bit more like, we're going to go to the front of the net type of mentality, which is the goals were basically like that. The Amherst got offense, move forward, like transition, let's go. And Syracuse is just, let's hunker down around Devin Levi and make it tough.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse definitely made it tough in the third period when they got themselves back to even and in the lead. In fact, over the last, you know, two periods, you were talking about a Amherst team that was dramatically outshot. This is, again, not particularly breaking news. The Amerks are not a high volume shot team, but the shots were 20-6 in favor of Syracuse over the third period and overtime, which lasted just over 10 minutes. So, again, unfortunate. Devin Levi, though, my opinion, really, really comfortable and strong. And I would suspect nothing less than that moving forward. You?
Yeah, no, I look, what we've seen out of Levi, and I still think there's a lot of room for improvement, but kind of like his game at the college level was, is he's extremely athletic, really fast, really, I don't want to say agitated, but there's always something moving, right? Like, that's how he plays. He's like the duck, the feet underneath the water, but it's the whole body. It's not just like a calm presence with everything running underneath. No, it's everything is running all the time. That's his key to success. But when it's running way too fast, like at times it has at the NHL level, now you're losing yourself. And I feel like what he's been able to do in Rochester and now continues to do is find the right rhythm. Like, he's not going above the speed limit and getting a ticket. He's staying at the speed limit and it's working.
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot of things that can also still click in more for the Amerks from a scoring standpoint. But it's pretty much played out as we would have expected. It's unfortunate that they lost a 2-0 lead yesterday, but that has happened repeatedly in the regular season series against Syracuse, and yet they found their way to bounce back. So again, game three happens on Thursday. Lots of overtime in the hockey world and in the lacrosse world. We'll dive in on the Bandits when we come back on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Bandits league-leading attendance has been up more than 10% on the heels of last year's championship win, and there was just shy of 18,000 in attendance on Saturday night for the rematch against Georgia. They lost a narrow one-goal game in the regular season at KeyBank, and this time it was single elimination, quarterfinal play, and Marty, after squandering an 8-5 lead, they had to come back, and they did so thanks to a Kyle Buchanan tying goal, little shovel put back on a rebound, and then the drama that you can't even imagine. 6 seconds left, they're in their own zone, they run up the floor, Dane Smith fires, it crosses the line, there's bedlam. However, and I have to give incredible credit to our game press and the league, if you were in attendance, you saw the replay with the tenth of a second in-house, probably less than 15 seconds after that goal was scored. So it diffused any concern that the game was over at that point. They went on, and 4 minutes into the overtime, Josh Byrne gets his fifth goal of the game. The Bandits win 10-9, and now they have a date with Toronto in a best of three that starts this Friday in Hamilton against The Rock, with game two happening Sunday at KeyBank Center.
I'll say this, 4 minutes in overtime in lacrosse is an eternity, right? It's long, and it's everybody on pins and needles and whatnot. Now, the greatest thing about having a replay right away is that people that were thinking, let's leave to beat the traffic, they didn't have time to gather their stuff. They got to see it, and they got to stay for the OT.
Yes, and 5 p.m. is the start time on Sunday, May the 5th. And what a day that should be. It's game two. Will the Bandits be in a position by then to clinch on the heels of game one? Of course, they have had good success against The Rock in the last number of years in the postseason and including this year's regular season. However, Toronto was clearly the best in standing this year in the National Lacrosse League, and they had a quick start against Rochester on Saturday and ultimately disposed of the Nighthawks with a 9-6 win in their quarterfinal game. Marty, this date in Sabres history, as we put a bow on the first show of the week here, Sabres Live, was the final call from Rick Jeanneret on this date 2 years ago. Amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was amazing. And we remember, like, the Casey Mittelstadt overtime, that game against Chicago with Malcolm Subban singing the national anthem. And then the way that it was set up is that everybody stayed in their seat in the arena. They replayed the call for everybody to see. That allowed RJ to get down from the booth to the Zamboni entrance and out on the ice to shake everybody's hand. What an amazing night that was. Still has goosebumps right now all over just thinking about it.
Truly amazing that his legendary career would finish on an overtime goal.
Oh,
a
yeah.
phrase that he made his own, I want to say, but so many others wanted to aspire to deliver it like he did.
Yeah. But it all starts without even the script. It's just in overtime, and then it goes.
Amazing. What a perfect way to end the first show of the week. Thanks for being with us, folks. We'll see you again.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.